This is With the First Pick, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where draft season never ends. Join former Titans GM Rand Carthon and me, Ryan Wilson, three times a week for an inside look at the college all-star games, the NFL Combine, and Pro Days. It's all building toward the big stage in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania this April for the 2026 NFL Draft. Follow and listen to With the First Pick on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from downtown San Francisco, this is 95.7 The Game.
All right, good morning, everyone. It is Warriors this week. Evan Giddings, Dan Devone. I am so glad to see you, Dan, because 7 days ago when you and I sat here looking at each other, pouring deep into our pupils, we discussed a team that was shaken, a team that had a daunting road trip coming up, a team that you didn't know what was going down and what was going to happen. And I guaranteed you at least a 2-2 week. I guaranteed you a 500 week. They'd beat the Pacers and they'd steal one from the Spurs. Well, damn it, I was wrong. Because they took two from San Antonio. What's up, Dano? Good morning.
Good call. I wasn't there with you.
Well, I didn't think they'd beat both of them.
I mean, you know what? This might be the most turbulent. I mean, how long have we been doing Warriors this week? The last 15 years?
It feels like it.
I don't know that we've experienced a week like this. Think about where it started off, right? You could see the wheels were coming off. And then that win against Indiana. Like, that was one of the most lethargic, one of the ugliest rock fight wins that I have ever witnessed. And then, of course, they get smoked by OKC. There's the internal fighting, and you're like, that's the end of that. Who the hell could have anticipated what took place the latter part of the week?
I sure couldn't have. You're so right, though, that like the Indiana game, we'll get into all of them at some point, but the Indiana game was probably the worst 30-point blowout I've ever seen. So I'm sitting there watching the Sunday night game and the Warriors game at a bar with my brother, and it's like 65-65 in the third quarter. We're going, what? They're playing with their food. Thank you, pasta. And we get back to the crib, watch the rest of the football game. I check the Warriors score. They won by 30 points. Like, there's no chance they beat that team by 30.
Yeah, that made no sense. Because if you watch for the first three quarters, it was about as ugly as basketball gets at the NBA, especially for the Warriors.
And obviously, Steph Curry did not play in that game.
Right.
But then he returns for OKC, and I was filling in for Guru that day with Steiny, and I'm sitting there thinking, that they're going to be competitive tonight, right? Like, this is a team that has to prove something. Curry's coming back off the illness, and you're going into the Lions' den, the defending champion's house. You got to prove something. You at least got to play well. And they just got absolutely dominated. Like, OKC... Last week, you said, don't be surprised if the Spurs win a championship. Or maybe that was 2 weeks ago. Don't be surprised if the Oklahoma City Thunder break the Warriors' regular season record this year. That's all I'll say. Do not be surprised if they win 74 games.
They're ridiculous.
They're unbelievable.
Their defense is ridiculous. But I think in defense of Steph Curry for that game, he was a bit winded.
Yeah.
I think that he was coming off that weird flu. His minutes were really limited, and then we saw, of course, the real Steph, the vintage Steph. And that, right, isn't that the Steph story and sort of the Warriors story, you know, collectively, that when they have rest, especially with a poster child, Steph Curry, you give him a couple of days off and you see what happens. Really, just to get back to OKC, They're doing this without Jalen Williams.
And they beat the Warriors also without
Lou Dort. Who's not playing. Don't forget, he had 40 in Game 7 against the Indiana Pacers. You're talking about their second-best player, arguably, him or Chet Holmgren. He hasn't played. I mean, the depth on this team. You know, maybe we can get back to OKC because we should focus on the Golden State Warriors, but I do want to circle back to sort of OKC.
It's an important game, though.
Well, in the place and time, right? When you think about the Warriors, when they're on that five-year run, they were the best team in basketball. And I remember, 2016, 2017, the beginning of the year, you could pencil them in the NBA Finals. Like, everything that you did throughout the regular season, if you were somebody other than that of the Golden State Warriors, was just an exercise in futility. Because you knew how this was going to end. And you get excited, Dallas won three in a row, let's do a show, or hey, we've turned a corner here. But you knew who was the big bad bear was waiting for you. And no one was getting past the Warriors with Kevin Durant, even before Kevin Durant. And that was 5 years of that. Are we in one of those right now, but it's replace the Warriors with OKC? Like, we can get excited about the Warriors. I'm sure there's shows out in Houston. I'm sure they're not Dallas anymore, but I'm sure that, you know, there's other teams, Minnesota, they're like, hey, man, we've got it. We could. But Denver. At the end of the day, you're like, yeah, no one's beating them.
Well, that's why I think I was having this discussion with someone before the season, and they were saying, you know, who's your NBA champ? And I really, you hate predictions, but I'm not a big fan of them. I said, give me OKC. Like, they're just the safest bet on the board. You know, some people might like Denver. They got a little bit better this offseason. Some people in the Bay might like the Warriors because, you know, they got a little bit better, so to speak, and they got this guy named Wardell. And some people might like Houston. Everyone must answer to the Oklahoma City Thunder. And the reason why I would also throw out that they may win 74 games this year is because, number one, they will get Jalen Williams back. They will get Dort back. They didn't even have Wiggins in that game, who's a player for him, too. But the thing is, they won 68 games last year. And I know this is a Warriors show. We'll talk about Golden State. They won 68 games last year. Chet Holmgren played 30 of them. Mm. He had the hip injury that he got hurt against Golden State the first time they met. That sidelined him for the majority of the season. And they still ran the team on the regular season. So, to me, the Warriors, the last two games, that restores the confidence, the balance, especially on the heels of what we talked about last weekend with which way are they going, what can they do, how can they adjust. And there's a lot of stuff we got to get into. But it's the reason why everyone, I don't care if it's in the West, the East, in the NBA, they must answer to the Thunder. I think Curry even said it last night. They asked him about the, like, I don't know if you're watching on Prime, but Dirk, Blake Griffin, Udonis Haslam, we're all talking to Curry after the game. And Dirk said something like, well, you know, tell me what happened OKC into the last two games. And Curry goes, everyone gets blown out by OKC.
Well, that's just it. You would think if you blew out the Warriors and you win that by 30-plus points, the next night they got the L.A. Lakers. And the Lakers, say what you will, have been a very good basketball team. And you're thinking, well, Lakers got a shot. They're playing well. Your guard's going to be a little bit down. There's got to be a hangover, right? Something you're very familiar.
Not today.
There's got to be somewhat of a hangover.
Hey, I'm two for my last two.
I know
two.
What's going on here, man.
Well, I was up until 11:30 doing postgame last night.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's the way to keep you off the streets.
Yeah, I know. I couldn't get out last night.
But okay, so you think there's going to be somewhat of a hangover. They smoked L.A. And Luka Doncic was like, what the hell is going on here? He had his season low. It was 19. But their defense just collapses on everything. And that's when you know something's up. And they smoke the Warriors, and then the next time they're playing the Lakers again. The Lakers have been playing very, very well, and the Lakers have this game circled. And that thing was over after a quarter.
Yeah, it was a joke. And they had both of their big boys, too, Reeves and Luka. Just to quickly put this in perspective, the 2016-17 Warriors, the best team that I've ever seen, with Durant, obviously, and Curry, Clay, Dre, Iguodala, they had a net rating of roughly 12.5, right? Supposed to give you an idea of how good teams are. Average points per possession. They're 12.5 points better per 100 possessions. That team was. OKC's at 15.2. So right now they're playing better basketball than that 2016-17 Warriors team. As for last night, Dan, so this was, I'm actually glad that you told me this before the show, because you're flying in. I appreciate you coming in, doing the show with your boy. You didn't get to see in real time, like, how quickly the game shifted because you were getting off your flight, correct?
Right.
So where did you pick up, and then when did you find out what eventually happened?
Start of the fourth quarter. So I got home, I would say, at about 10:30, and I popped in the rest of the game. I was like, I did not see this coming. Not in a baseball series when you're nip and tuck, and especially going into that fourth quarter, the Spurs are making their run. They go up by 10 in the fourth. Like, there's no way. To be honest with you, I can't really get my arms around this team. I mean, I can, and we'll get into that, but really difficult when you think about the last time you and I were together to where we're at today and the body of work of the Golden State Warriors and trying to figure this team out going forward.
Well, the last two games, it's the equation's been 30. Equals 30. You know, if you're looking at, you don't have to do 2 times 4 bracketed and then divide it by 6 with an exponent of 4. There's no math that's involved in regards to the last two wins. It's equals 30. While I do believe that that's going to have to change at some point, you can't keep doing that every night. That's also why I was left feeling last night, Dan, like, in one breath stunned, but also he always finds a way to do this. It's just a matter of how and when and why and where. But he kind of, like you saw Jordan, like he's got a little bit of that. His team, if they're within striking distance, is not going to lose. Like when it was, so they go down 10 with 7.5 left roughly after the Warriors get like, they get fouled 6 different times in a span of, or they foul 6 times in a matter of 1 minute. And it's because they're playing small. You know, Draymond's trying to guard Wemby. Jimmy Butler, I think, got an over-the-back foul or a loose ball foul. Steve Kerr is getting texts on the sideline. It looked like the Warriors were losing their cool. And then, boom, 10 straight from Curry. And he cuts it to 5. And then he gets a little bit of help. Like, that's the other part, too. Is there were some big shots by other Warriors. GP2 hit a big 3.
Where did that come from?
Out of necessity, Pods hit a big 3.
Couple.
Well, that first, so GP2 hit 2, Pods hit 1.
That deep one from out in front.
Pods, yeah, that was a big shot to cut it within 1. Pods also had the drive and kick to GP2 in the corner. I think it's the first time I've seen him go by anybody this season. But he does it at a right time, and then Curry basically does the rest. And it's just like, you're watching that game, and there's no way. Oh, there's a way. And because the Spurs also hit a couple shots, too. The difference was at the end, Warriors had Curry and the Spurs had De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah, I get the feeling that is it a bit of a like a bubble? Is this a little sort of like empty calories, whatever the proper euphemism is here? Is like, are we still where we were at like a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, that it's Steph Curry and we go as far as Steph takes us? I mean, can this team win when he's not going for 40 plus? I think is the question going forward. And I know Jimmy Butler was supposed to help, and he has to a certain degree, but his consistency, you can clearly see that he doesn't have the legs like that of a Steph. He's a year or two younger, but he does not have the energy like a Steph Curry. So is it still, this team will go as far as Steph will take them? I was hoping that the supporting cast was going to get a little bit better, but it looks as though we're sort of right back at square one. And I don't mean to throw water on the last two wins, but when I look at that win against the Lakers to open up the season, where Steph was okay, but it was so well-balanced, including Jonathan Kuminga, that was something to buy into. This, albeit amazing that they won the last two against San Antonio, but still, it's very reminiscent of what it is that we've experienced over the last couple of years.
Well, that's why there's a natural euphoria anytime you're watching Curry do what he does. And like I saw something that Bill Simmons said, I think it was, might have been 2 nights ago. Like when did you see Jokic go for 55 against the Clippers?
Yeah.
So he had 33 in the first half.
Clippers are just terrible.
Yeah, I know. Those guys are cooked. Although they might have gotten better. They lost Bradley Beal for the season. So Jokic goes for 55 on 23 shots, and Bill Simmons says something like, I think Jokic is the guy that I would drive to see more than anybody else in the league. And to be fair, it's between him and Curry. Like, if you're going to see one player, you'll drive wherever on a Tuesday night in Orlando, you're going to go see that guy. And each and every time someone says something like that, I'm not saying he has receipts and he does this on purpose, but it's like there's just always a constant reminder that the best show in sports has and will be this year, at least for the foreseeable future, it's Steph. And it's just crazy because he's 37 years old and he's going up against this physical freak. I think that's also part of it too, Dan, is watching the physical difference between him and Victor Wembanyama. Wemby is 7'5", and apparently he's still growing. And he had some unbelievable plays in that game. The block on Jimmy, but I don't know how he got to that ball. Like, Butler uses half his ass to try and ward him off, and Wemby just reaches across what looked like the entire restricted area to block him.
You mean the two-on-one with him and Curry?
Yes, where Curry throws that was a beautiful behind-the-back pass. And I'm like, oh, they got two. Wemby just defends Steph, slides, and erases that shot just like my dad used to do to me when I was six. You know
daddy
what I mean?
Blocks. Daddy blocks.
Exactly. He had, I think, three or four of them last night. He also had two on Draymond.
What was Draymond? Draymond's challenging him. Like, Butler's, you can see. Like, Draymond's going to get personal. Like, me, of all people, is going to... Like, Zion can't do that. Draymond, my God. What the hell are you thinking?
I don't know. Hold on. I want to say... So, obviously, Draymond was matched up primarily with Wemby. He did a really good job defensively.
He did a hell of a job. Hell of a job.
But Kerr literally matched his minutes with Wemby. Like, when Wemby came out, Draymond came out, back in, vice versa. Except when Draymond picked up six fouls. Draymond, over a two-game period, shot 4 for 22.
Dude, he was brutal.
And I'm left thinking that he played pretty well. Yeah. But there's just nothing you can do. There's absolutely nothing you can do when that man is standing in the paint. He altered, whether because of a block, a contest, or just his mere presence, that guy alters so many shots. And so that was part of it too, right? Is, yes, Curry was unbelievable. And we'll get into the sustainability because I'm largely with you there. But watching those two guys, one old and small, one young and bigger than we've ever seen in the NBA. And it's the older, smaller guy who's the best player on the floor. Yeah, maybe not on both ends, but he impacted the game to the point where he just, like, they were down 10 and he just goes, all right, time to turn it on. You know, step back, 30-footer, gets to the cup, little 18-foot Jimmy on the left side. He obviously had 18 points in the third quarter, too. So it wasn't like he just turned it on in the fourth. Like, he had two relatively complete games. He was the only reason that they were in it in the first half because he had, like, 18 points. He had four threes. The rest of the Warriors didn't hit one. So you're right. It's the Curry show, and I also believe that you are correct that if they're gonna find a way to just survive the regular season, it can't be just him.
And we already know this, but he finishes so well. And it wasn't only creating the space on the threes, but when he was going to the rack, we just take this for granted. He kisses so high off the window to avoid players that are 3-4, and in the case of Wembanyama, 4 feet taller than he is. It's remarkable what it is that he does in terms of his touch, but it's just you get that feeling that it's closing time. Here comes Steph. And it's palpable. You're like, you know how this is going to end. It's just one of those, wow, at the end of the day. It also sort of reminds me, just to get off the game for a moment, like, you're talking about one of the greatest athletes, if not the greatest athlete over the last decade plus, right? Maybe Patrick Mahomes and him. And he ends his relationship with Under Armour. It had to be one of the most bizarre sort of sponsorships. Here is the most marketable athlete in the world. It's like, I guess what, the Curry 1 or 2 sold a little bit, but like, I can't remember any of his shoes. How many Curry commercials can you point at and say, oh yeah, that was tight, I remember that? Like, what the hell was Under Armour with the most marketable? We talk about this all the time, not only on the court, but off the court, a genuine good guy. What were they doing the last 13 years?
Under Armour was built on Steph the way that, and not to the same extent, but like, the only reason Under Armour is relevant is because of Steph Curry. In the way that, like, Nike just built the foundation of its empire on Jordan, right? I mean, Nike eventually became basically the monopoly it feels like it is today. But the only reason, and Under Armour now, I think they have what? They have, I don't even know if they have Bryce Harper. Like, I can't name you a couple more Under Armour athletes. I can name you a couple Curry athletes, because one of them played for the Spurs. De'Aaron Fox is a Curry brand athlete.
Yeah.
Like, he's so big that he's got other athletes wearing his shoes while he's playing. And it was cool last night. I think he wore some Kobe's during warmups, some Nikes, which I'm sure they're putting together a offer. By the way, real as an aside, do you know why he didn't sign with Nike originally?
Oh, I think I know this story.
Because
it was his teammate Ken Bazemore, right?
Well, that might have been part of it, but
the meeting
Yes.
Was it with Nico Harrison?
Yes.
Go ahead, I'll let you.
In Oregon, he goes to the Nike headquarters, and like any other athlete, they got a pitch for him, so they got this PowerPoint presentation set up, and it's Wardell the first, Wardell the second, and so it's Pops and Son sitting there, and on Pops' screen, a picture of Curry and a name, Kevin Durant. They didn't change the PowerPoint. Yeah. When they're selling them on their stuff and their vision for them. And so he goes,
are you looking for a money reset? With the new year upon us, the Jill on Money podcast is here to help you take control of your financial life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm out.
Thank you, Goo. I'm out. And he goes to this little company, Under Armour. They give him a nice little package. I think it's at one point he was making like $20 million a year.
Yeah.
And the funny part was he actually just signed a massive deal, like an extension in 2023, which I was reading was going to be, by the time it was all said and done, worth up to $1 billion. And he opts out of that. And now he's a free agent. And oh, by the way, the 2 days that he is, well, I guess he technically became a free agent, was it yesterday? 2 days ago. His first game as a free agent, he drops 49. I don't know if there's a better PowerPoint presentation to sell himself to another shoe company.
So, I don't know how much credibility there is to this, but apparently after that meeting went awry with him and Nico Harrison, who at the time was a rep for Nike.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, yeah, I'm out on Nike. And so his teammate at the time, Kent Bazemore, Steph goes to his old man and is like, you know, Kent Bazemore's with Under Armour. He gets all his free stuff, man. It's like they keep giving him a bunch of stuff. Like, I think I'm going to go with them. But that just goes to show you who it is that was aligning with Under Armour at the time. It was the Kent Bazemores of the world. And can you imagine when you get the call from Steph Curry? It's like, hey, you got a spot on the roster for me?
That's so great. And in the meantime, we have the best producer in the biz because one, Steven Pasta Risotto has found the sound of why Curry parted with Under Armour.
Just in the best interest of both parties. That sneaker industry is difficult. And like I said, things change over time and to the point of you give your best effort to, you know, create something sustainable. And a little disappointing knowing how it turned out based on, you know, where Curry brand has been the last 5 years and the announcement we had 2 years ago. But I think it's the right thing for everybody. For me to be able to take the opportunity with Curry Brand and what we've done in the community, what we've done from standing for something, you know, changing the game for good is our tagline, and hopefully having something to show for it down the road. I'm excited about that.
How do they bleep that up if you're Under Armour?
You got to go out of your way. But I just think it's so weird that he ends a 13-year relationship. There should be at least one commercial we could point at, but there's got to be. It's like, what have they been doing with the most marketable athlete in the history of sports? Pasta, by the way, can we hear from you? What's going on?
What's up, Steve?
Hi.
Oh my God.
How you doing, Dan?
My God.
Good to see you, Dan. Good to see you, Evan.
Well, he was here last night with me. You know, quietly, Pasta's been gaining confidence.
Well, rightfully so.
Well, but I'm not sure if it's.
I'm a fan. Can I be your agent?
Sure. I don't have one right now, so you could step in and do those duties.
I'm not so sure this power is not going to his head. You know, he comes in last night, and he's jovial, and he's joking, and he's throwing the ball around this morning with you. Pasta's quickly gaining some steam here. And I'm just saying, watch out. Just watch out for him.
It's a talented young man. Although I would say this, Pasta. Stick to the pen. I mean, you could do this. But you'd be selling yourself short. There's not enough people that are quote-unquote scribes. And there's not enough people in your generation that are focused on the written word. Like, writing is a lost art.
100%.
And we need more people like you. Like, bozos like me could scream into a microphone and say, let's go out to the caller in line two. But guys like you, you're a necessity. No pressure, though.
Taken.
Yeah, if you don't keep it up, we're going to be illiterate.
I have an agent now.
Exactly.
Well, I read. I don't write. Those are two very different skills.
No, they go hand in hand. It's why you're so articulate. And you, for your somebody of your generation that reads, is a voracious reader like you are, is also something that we don't do. I don't think, I don't read enough, but I think people of your generation are head down. I always talk about head down, and then they're just consumed by their tablet, and everything is fragmented. Everything they get is within a 20-second clip. And if it's any longer than that, well, my attention span's gone. And so the art of reading is also lost in all of this.
Let's read a couple text messages from the Boxer and Gerson work injury returnees text line. So why did he wear Nike last night? That was, I think, an ode, because he's a free agent, so Curry could finally wear another shoe.
Did you see his shoe came off at one point? I wonder if that was by design.
Well, no, I don't know if it was or wasn't, but he did wear his own shoes. He wears Curry shoes during the game. And then he switched, I want to say, someone on Twitter said he switched after the first quarter. I thought it was at halftime, which I thought was interesting because, of course, he scores 31 in the second half. But he did wear his own Curry brand shoes once the game started.
But his shoe came off. I don't know if he was trying to draw attention to the fact of what the subliminal message was there, but it was almost like he kicked it off when he was at a free throw. And I've never seen that happen. I've never seen one of his shoes come off. And it just so happens to coincide with the day after the news breaks that he's no longer with Under Armour, and his shoe comes off at the free throw line.
Well, I do have to say this before we hit our first break. Everything that Curry does is purposeful.
Well, there you go.
Even last night, when he hit, I forget which three he hit, you know, one of nine, but he ties Michael Jordan for the most 40-point games by someone after the age of 30. 44 of them. Ridiculous. And he goes down the court and he throws up the 23. Like, he knows. He knows exactly where he is, where he's at, within, obviously, a very competitive game. Although, I think he said he threw it up the wrong way, so it looked like 32. But, like, everything that he does is on purpose. So, while I think that in the moment it looked like, oh, a shoe just came off, if he said after the game, yeah, I did that on purpose, I wouldn't be shocked.
Well, I'll never admit it, but there was some sort of a subliminal message going on there.
All right. 888-957-9570 is the number. Warriors this week, we're taking your calls, we're taking your texts. I see it on the YouTube chat, powered by First NorCal Credit Union as well. Where are you at with the Warriors? Two awesome wins, early game of the year candidate last night in San Antonio with Curry going for 49 on the heels of 46. Where are you at with the Warriors? Do we got to get real on the other side? I also do want to talk about, because we didn't have a chance to discuss it, Dan and I, Draymond Green, his message, where it came from, the residual effects of it, and what it means for the Warriors moving forward. All that ahead on Warriors This Week at 95.7 The Game.
Curry, switch, gets Keldon Johnson off the screen by Draymond, dribbles on Wembanyama, step back three off the dribble, had him turned around, he looked for Curry, he wasn't there, knocks down the three left side. Payton collides with Castle. Pajemski gets it to Horford to Curry. Curry to Pajemski inside to Butler. Left corner Payton rotates back to Curry. Good closeout by Sohan. Dribble drive by Curry. Steps back, fades into a two. Got another one. Oh, my goodness. It's the Curry Show here in San Antonio.
Wow.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
What a game.
It sure was. Tim Roy on the call, 95-7 The Game, 109-108. Warriors beat the Spurs. Steph Curry, 49 points, 31 in the second half.
I love Tim Roy, by the way.
It's simply spectacular. Well, speaking of broadcasters, what did you think of the Prime broadcast?
Well, why did you...
What?
Why do you got to spoon-feed me? Like, come on, you know, I mean, I'm just trying to...
Just throwing you the lob.
I just want to stay
You're
positive
Curry, man.
Today. You I know I'm not stinks. A Kevin Harlan fan. It was hard to listen to Kevin Harlan, and I know he's so popular. It's just, let it breathe, bro. Just let it breathe.
The guy is drunk! Man,
tall Asian Mike in the YouTube chat saying Harlan's a great.
I know everybody loves Kevin Harlan. It's just, it's too much. Just lay out. You know how I feel about that. But Tim Roy is just pleasant to listen to. He's informative, he's funny, and he gives you a good description of the game. And it's just like he's not, I don't know, he doesn't have... The pipes, I guess, of Greg Papa way back in the day when Sleepy is Superman. But he's just, he's somebody that I enjoy just when I turn it on and I'm going from point A to point B when I'm driving and I'm like, I'm not annoyed. I'm not like, oh God. Because I have no options. I can turn down the volume when I'm watching a game. I don't have that option when I'm
just watching, watch it muted. No, Tim Roy, he's great, man. He's been doing it forever for a reason. And he's been the voice of a lot of memorable moments.
You know, Steph Curry, just getting back to him. So did you watch the Amazon broadcast?
I did.
Okay, so they did this comparison side by side. Wembanyama closed out on him on a three, a step back three. Think about how hard that is. If you're what is Curry, 6'2 on a good day, 6'3 maybe?
Yeah, with his new shoes.
And Wemby's coming out at you, and he's extending, he's closing on you. So he's going full-on extension with his hand. He's already 7'5". The wingspan puts him over 9 feet?
Who knows?
And Curry buries it. But they did the analogy, and it was really good work by the crew of Amazon, of it was really similar to what it is that he did in the Olympics against Team France and Wembanyama.
Well, they showed that still shot photo of him shooting over Wemby when his hand was outstretched and the ball was like past his hand. So it looked like he shot it through his hand almost. It was a great shot. But they showed that between the NBC Sports Bay Area broadcast on Wednesday and the Prime broadcast on Friday, I think I saw that picture 7 times because he just kept doing it. Like there was, I think it was in the second quarter, the one from the top of the key that they were talking about where he just shoots it over Wemby. It was, I don't even know how you visualize. Well, I'll tell you who else did it quietly.
Draymond.
No, your boy.
Oh.
Will Richard. Yeah. He hit a three over Wemby in the corner. That was pretty impressive.
Yeah, you hit me up last night. So when I landed, I hadn't seen the fourth quarter, but I saw your text, and you were throwing praise to Will Richard. So when I popped in the game, I'm like, oh, Richard must have gone off here in the fourth quarter, but he didn't even play.
No, but he played well, though.
No, I did, but yeah. I was curious because that's who you pointed out, and I didn't even know the outcome, and I'm like, the Warriors won this and Will Richard hit the game winner?
Well, I sent you that text after he hit that three with Wemby closing out on him because I just can't imagine for a rookie who, I mean, like there are some big players in college, like at Florida, there's the 7'4" guy, this dude who plays now for the Hornets, Kalkbrenner, he's 7'3", played for Creighton last, like there's some tall guys in college, but he's never seen anything like that. And for him to adjust his shot to Wembanyama and then still, I thought it was really impressive. So he didn't have a big game, but I wanted to, you know, I took a victory lap because I had the Warriors actually winning some games this week, unlike you. And you have been telling me that Will Richard is the future, and I got to give you credit because 3 days later, he's in the starting lineup. I know he didn't play a ton of minutes, but he's a starter.
So moving forward, mm-hmm. What are we doing with Jonathan Kuminga? Obviously, he's coming back.
Oh, boy.
And how do we get him back into the fold?
Well, I think you do need him back. But the issue is, do you think they win those games with Kuminga?
Yes. I don't think he plays much.
I have my doubts. And the only reason is because, well, look, I think it's a little unfair. I do believe that he was looking hesitant and played hesitant because his knee, you know, he has the tendonitis, right? And it sounds like both knees. But his confidence looked zapped after that second half against Sacramento. Indiana didn't play particularly well. Oklahoma City, nobody played well. And he kind of looked like a deer in the headlights that first half on Wednesday against San Antonio. And Gary Payton II was huge. GP2 doesn't play if Kuminga's not hurt. So, and I think GP2's are one of the reasons why they won those games. So I'm not sure. Maybe Kuminga makes plays. Maybe he doesn't. I'm not sure they win those games, Dan, but I do believe that if this team, to your point earlier, like, what's sustainable? Curry going for 45 every night or an ensemble cast going on the road against the Lakers and getting 15 here, 20 here, 18 here, 16.
Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B-plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B-minus or a C-plus life, because when you're living a B or B-plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A-plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
There, that to me is what the Warriors have to eventually get back to. And I think in some way, shape, or form, that involves JK.
The Warriors, when Steph Curry is off the floor, struggle to find their offense, especially in the early part of games. And there is nobody that they can turn to when Jonathan Kuminga isn't there. Now, Jonathan Kuminga has struggled, and I'm certainly not here to defend him. In fact, I do want to talk more about him, and we always, all roads eventually end up at the doorstep of Jonathan Kuminga on this show. But it is so evident, and it's not Butler for whatever reason, but there are so many times where it just screams out, Podziemski has nowhere to go. Moody needs a screen. He can't create his own shot. It's not Buddy Hield. It's certainly not Al Horford. And the ball is just going around the perimeter. And you can see as though the Warriors are just collectively screaming out saying, will somebody create a shot not named Steph Curry? And they don't have anybody. Now, later in the game when Curry gets them unlocked and the offense is flowing, and now he's got that gravitational pull, now there's confidence, and suddenly GP2 is like, all right, I'll get one. And you can see Podziemski's like, let me join the party. But early on in games when Steph is not on the floor, it's an exercise of hot potato. I don't want it because I don't have the ability to go by my guy. Say what you will about Jonathan Kuminga, and there's a lot that you can and we will talk about, but he still possesses, oftentimes he has that ace up his sleeve that he can actually put pressure on the rim when nobody else can.
He can, but...
No, I get it. It comes at a price.
Well, he can't do it off the dribble. Like, as much as I want to agree with you about the creation stuff, like, how many times have you seen him like off the dribble, like counter or like break down his man? Like he can get one step to the rim, you know, if he collects and gets his steps right, like he can play above players. But I'm watching him against Sac. Against an OKC is not necessarily fair, but then again, that's the team you're trying to measure yourself against. Like he can't go by anybody. So I agree with you that Curry's the only person who can create for himself off the dribble, but I really don't know if there's anybody else in this roster that can do that. And Kuminga might be the player that's most capable, but one of the reasons why I believe he was taken out of the starting lineup, and I want to get to the Draymond Green sound in just a moment from OKC, because that kind of is where this all stems from. But one of the reasons why I think he was out of the starting lineup is because he led the league, he led the team in turnovers. And you're seeing a team that last night, like if they turn the ball over 20 times, they lose that game against the Spurs. If they don't take care of the ball, they lose games. This isn't a 2016-17 Warriors team that can just toss the ball all over the floor, be loose with the ball, and have enough offensive firepower and defensive playmakers to overcome it. They just can't. If they don't protect the ball, they're going to lose. And I think that's why you saw him go back to the bench. And I think that's why they're now trying to do what they did last year, which is basically just have Jimmy Butler initiate everything. Because he's the only guy, Steph included, who's careful with the ball.
That's why he's as effective as he is. I would say this in defense of Jonathan Kuminga. I think he can, if he's squared up on a guy and they're eyeball to eyeball, I think he can get by a guy. But yeah, his handle needs some work. But what he can do is, if you need a bucket, he can ISO and he can back a guy down. He'll get into a crab dribble and back you down and get into a space where he's 16 to 18 feet from the hoop and he's perfected this little turnaround jump shot, which he's very capable of hitting. And that's an ISO that they don't have when he's not on the floor. Now, the issue with him is that we've regressed right back where we were last year, and we regressed right back where we were 2 or 3 years ago, where he's uncertain in Steve Kerr's system when to let it go, when to defer, when I should, you know, get mine, and it's not instinctive. I talked about this last week. We're 5 years into this now, Ev. And I think I've gotten to the point where, and this isn't necessarily an indictment on Jonathan Kuminga, but if he doesn't know at this point that, okay, I instinctively just know where to go, I got to get mine, I see where the floor is balanced, and no, I'm going to give it to Steph because, you know, he's got an opening, like all that stuff. But when he's overthinking things 5 years in, it's time to go. And it's not an indictment on his talent. It's just like, you're never going to get this, all right? Go someplace else. Start anew, be the number one or number two on a bad team and do you. But this can no longer continue. And the reason why I say that is because you and I talked about this, and I asked you, I think, is this the new version of Jonathan Kuminga? Did the light finally go on? Does he finally get it? And we talked about this after the first week. But now that we've seen what it is that he's done in the last couple of games, where he's the same old guy, I'm at the point where I'm like, I think it's just best for everybody that he gets out of town and the Warriors get what it is that they're going to get from him. Because I don't think it'll ever go on in terms of that proverbial green light.
Well, you and I have talked about this before. I think that's where it is eventually heading. But on a night like last night, I'm not sure where he would have helped. Like, it was all about Curry. You know, it had to be all about Steph. And you're right, that the moment that he starts to get going, everything else is unlocked. GP2 is not open for that wing three if Steph isn't double-teamed. Jimmy Butler isn't able to cut to the lane for an easy two with 4 minutes left if Curry's not being double-teamed 5 feet beyond the three-point line. Pods probably isn't able to drive into the space in the paint and kick the GP2 in the corner if the attention isn't on Steph. I understand that. But to me, the goal is going to be to get what they can out of Jonathan for the remaining months that he's on the team, and then try and trade him for something that fits a bit better, you know. But I think this is where it all stemmed from. So this was after Oklahoma City, Draymond Green talking about some of the things that he felt after they got they got embarrassed in Oklahoma City. Here's Draymond.
In your losses, your guys' turnover numbers have been really high. Is that the biggest issue right now?
It's definitely an issue. But they had 20 turnovers too, and they beat us by 30. So it's a lot more issues than just that.
What do you think is the biggest difference between the way you ended last season once Jimmy got here and what's going on right now?
I think everybody was committed to winning and doing that any way possible. And right now, it doesn't feel that way.
Personal agenda type stuff, or like, you know, I mean, I guess how was you kind of?
I think everyone has a personal agenda in this league, but you have to make those personal agenda work in the team confines. And if it doesn't work, then you kind of got to get rid of your agenda, or eventually the agenda is the cause of someone getting rid of you. And so, you know, I think you don't want a team with no personal agendas, because a goal is an agenda, you know? And so you got to have some type of personal agenda. But like I said, you got your personal agenda must fit into the confines of the team.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Might be one of the most insightful things he's ever said.
There's a couple bars in there. Like, I know Draymond is, you may like him, you may not like him. I thought it was kind of funny he didn't really point the finger at himself, but not wrong. And again, like, he backed up what he was talking about. They won two games after he said that. So you got to give him some credit. When you heard it, who did you think that he was talking about?
I thought initially Pajemski or Jonathan Kuminga. And I think it was one of those two. What was interesting is that I think that they fully intended, now because of the blowout, they didn't play much in the fourth quarter. But I think that first game against San Antonio, that Steve Kerr was going to rest all those guys. I really do believe that. But after what it is that he said, it's like, you can't take this game off now, man. Bro, you just called everybody out. Get your arse on the court. You don't get this one.
No, it's – yeah, exactly. Thanks, Jerry. Kerr said he was questionable for San Antonio the night before. Like, before the OKC game, he basically said, we're thinking about sitting Draymond. May not play. And then he goes out there and stinks up to join an OKC, calls everybody out. Yeah, he had to play. And, to be fair, he played pretty well. I know Wemby had big numbers,
Draymond was in his jersey. Amazing in those two games. Who do you think he was calling out?
I think he was calling out everybody. Now, I understand why the road would naturally lead to those two guys, because Who are the two players that have spoke about agendas the most? Kuminga and I think Pajemski. Like, Pods wants to be face of the franchise. He wants to be the white Shohei. He wants to be all these things that a lot of people believe are just flat-out ridiculous. Kuminga, meanwhile, wanted to get the bag, and he did. So I understand why it's those two guys. But I also think, too, he might have been talking to some of the other players. Like, could have been talking to maybe Jimmy Butler, who took three shots in 22 minutes against Oklahoma City. Could have been talking to even someone as quiet and team-oriented as Moses Moody, who behind the scenes might not have been happy about going back to the bench after stepping into his starting role last year. I don't know what's going on behind the scenes. Maybe Gary Payton II could have been pouting a bit after being phased out of the rotation. You notice Buddy Hield and Jimmy, not so buddy-buddy this year. Because Buddy's not taking shots. Buddy's not playing. Buddy might be out of the rotation. You know what I mean? Like, there are other players on the team that I think Draymond could have been talking to. I'm not saying he was specifically, but I think he was just saying that everybody was playing more as individuals than as a team, which was clear. Perhaps. Thank you. That's what I thought he was saying.
I don't think he would go after Jimmy Butler. I could be wrong.
He went after Kevin Durant.
I would not go there, because if Butler gets a whiff of that, then Butler is not the kind of guy who's going to take that sitting down. Like, you don't want to poke that bear, because you want disruption? Don't do that to Jimmy Butler. I think Draymond knows that. But I thought it was really insightful, because if you think about it, if you just step back for a moment, it's like, and I did, I was like, yeah, you know what? He's so right. It's because you have to have personal agendas, but at the same time, it's got to work within the confines of winning. Like, that's a really, really difficult thing to balance if you think about it as an NBA basketball player, right? Like, they're all playing for personal contracts. So I can't sacrifice everything for the good of the team. I got to get mine. And I've got a personal agenda. And he's right. Everybody has their personal agenda, but it has to be balanced within the confines of what it is that we're here to do, and that is win games. Which I think is really, seriously, that might be the most insightful thing that he's ever said. Because there's a lot of crap that's come out of his mouth. On the daily.
Well, that's what I'm trying to think of.
And he was amazing against, I think, Wembanyama.
He's good. Back-to-back nights. In fact, I think last night, the first half, you didn't see Wemby shoot. He took one shot in the paint in the first half. And I think, number one, because Draymond was defending him well, but he also knew that the paint was just not available.
Yeah, well, I want to talk about that. That is ridiculous.
Well, but he got stuffed the game before. Like, he was 1-for-6 against Draymond in the first half of that first game that they played. And a lot of it is because, and I know you always do this, you're a big man, get your ass in the paint, back your ass into the restricted area. Well, I hate to break it to you, Draymond Green might weigh more than Victor Wembanyama. So, he will in a couple of years be that post player that you want him to be, but he ain't Jokic, bro. So, I think one of the reasons why he did not have his ass in the paint is because of what Draymond was able to do to him the game before.
Partially. I'll give you that. But I think part of his game, because he's got to be able to do what it is that he does way out on the wing, because that's why he's this valued, I mean, you want to call him a stretch five, I guess. He's just, we've never seen anything like him. And part of what it is that he does is ability to shoot threes. But when I see possessions where he's trying to dribble out of a double team 30 feet from the hoop and then throws it away, I'm like, that's disgusting for a 7'5". That is an absolute waste. Maybe don't stick him down to the post the entire time. Get him on the nail. Put him on the pinch post. Get him closer to the hoop. I do not want to see him get into action 30 feet from the hoop. I know he can shoot it. I know he can cross over. To me, more often than not, that's a waste of time. Yes, he's got to get outside and do what it is that he does on the wing. But more often than not, some of those turnovers, oh my God. I'm sorry. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Hakeem Olajuwon, David Robinson, I'll go right on down the list. Just like, oh, oy vey.
Yeah, there were some really bad ones in that first game. He cleaned it up a little bit last night. Let's go to Kevin, who's in Fremont. Kevin, get us going. You're on Warriors This Week. What's up, man? How are you?
Tremendous. And how are you doing?
Tremendous. I love that word. I'll steal it and throw it back at you.
Yeah, okay, cool. The Kuminga long-term, I agree, is going to probably get traded for what they really need. His main problem, and I've been really pounding on him for his basketball playing. I said to the caller,
yeah,
bad athleticism versus, I'm going to say, basketball acumen. Okay, he has all the athleticism in the world until that knee gives out, by the way. He's not going to hold up long term, by the way. But he has not developed, it's not innate to him to play basketball. He knows how to be his man, and I'm not even sure about that, because every time he gets under a heavy pressure, he turns the ball over. He's athletic, but I'm not sure he has the innate ability to know how to get over somebody when he needs to with that jumping ability. And every 2 seconds that he does display basketball ability, just basketball athleticism, he comes up with this knee issue. And about a year ago, I said he's not long for this league, and the Warriors need to trade him as soon as they get this contract figured out. They need to trade him for what they do need in basketball acumen, because he's not going to be a long-term player in this league. I have had knee issues myself. I've been an athlete all my life, but I haven't been a basketball player. I'm just saying he's not going to hold up that way. He jumps all the way up to the ceiling. He comes down on that knee. Those knees are going to give out, and they are already giving out. And so I think he's had a great year of trying to buy into what they want from him. But every time, like when he gets the ball without Curry on the court, when he gets the ball and he doesn't innately know what to do with it next. And that's never happened. During the 4 years, you got to have progress in that area. And that's why he's never going to be what everybody thinks or thought he was going to be.
I got you, Kev. Appreciate the call, man. We got to hit a break here in a second. I want to get to Scott and Berkeley's call on the other side. But I don't want to go down that road right now. There is something I actually do want to talk about with Kuminga, and it has to do with his summer that I think is important in all of this.
But really quick, before we go to the break, one of the reasons why I said, yeah, it's time for him to go, and everybody seems, well, yeah, of course, it's a foregone conclusion that he's going to get traded. Not a couple of weeks ago. It was up for debate. Do we trade Kuminga after what it is that we saw out of the first week? It's like, I don't know.
Well, that's how fandom works. Remember, we talked about this last year. Nobody wanted to give up on Wiggins or, you know, some of those guys because they're playing well.
The one thing that
it's like the time to trade a guy is when he's playing well. If you trade him when he's bad, nobody wants him.
You know what he's a poster child for?
Tell me.
Stay in school. Stay in school and learn to play. You should have gone to Duke. Look at Trace Jackson Davis and Will Richard. You know why they're in the NBA? It was 4 years of college basketball. I'm not saying 4 years, but you can clearly see that he's learning on the job. And while all the athleticism is there, all the other... Why are you smirking?
TJD stinks.
God, well, that's not my point.
But he's not very good.
He is.
He's fine. I'm just kidding. Kinda.
What about Will Richard? Don't do it. Don't do it. You want to go?
All right. We got to hit a break here. Save me. Commercial break. Save me. Warriors This Week. We'll be back after this with Giddings and Devone on 95.7 The Game.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.